You gave presentation of summarizing the entomology section from the International Conference. Bottom line, it still comes down to controlling silage year-round, doesn't it?
Yes, there's a lot of work that's been going on for silage control. I've covered presentations on some long-term strategies and also what we can do in the short term as far as silage management. And in the short term, until we do have solutions developed, it's going to be keeping silage populations as low as we possibly can, you know, in an economically feasible manner, just to buy ourselves more time until that long-term solution is reached.
One of the things you said, calendar-based spraying schedule every 20 days still works pretty good, doesn't it?
Yes, and I don't know if in our situation in Florida we need to go every 20 days, but definitely there was at least two studies that I summarized where they looked at calendar-based sprays versus some more that were based on scouting. And really what it just showed is that these preventive approaches to silage control, controlling the silage while populations are still very low, provides the best long-term control of keeping silage populations in check in the long term. What happens, again, is if you let silage populations start to build up and by the time you find those silage and start to respond to the presence of those silage in the grove, it just makes it that much more difficult to get control. The populations get out of hand, and you find yourself constantly behind trying to catch up.
Looking at the future, some of what's out there for the control of silage using some of this high-tech stuff.
Yes, with the citrus silage genome project completed, this really opens up a lot of new avenues for researchers, especially in the molecular fields, to make some really important advances in silage control. And primarily, one of the things we've heard a lot about recently is the use of RNAi. This is basically, it's a technology. The approach is basically identifying genes of interest and trying to find ways to shut those genes off. And today I talked about a lot of genes that have been looked at, things as far as hormone regulators in the silage, different genes for different functions in the silage. But I also gave some examples today of some work that's being done by one of our researchers, Nabil Kalini. And in his lab and his team, they've been able to do things like turn off the genes for wing formation in the silage. So basically, the silage, when they develop, they have twisted wings and aren't able to fly. Nabil's group has also done a lot of really interesting work using this technology to inhibit silage feeding on plants, and they basically make them starve to death. Even got some ways that they can actually block the ability to transmit the pathogen. So these are some of the things that these molecular researchers are able to do that we've not even been possible to dream about doing 5 years ago. This is a really big break for us, and we just hope that this technology can be brought to the field in a timely manner.
I think several of the scientists, after you spoke, you're heavily involved in the CHIMA project, they said that's still one of the best things worldwide, Brazil and here, that is working for silage control is growers working together, correct?
Yes, and it's actually probably one of the, biologically and as far as management, it's probably one of the simplest concepts, although it may be one of the most difficult things to implement, because again, all we're doing is talking about everybody trying to coordinate their pesticide applications, you know, spray at the same time to reduce silage movement and keep populations low. But again, the coordination is sometimes difficult because people have different schedules for harvesting and different grove operations. So while it's maybe one of the most simplistic concepts for managing silage, it still can be a very difficult one to carry out. So it's something growers need to be continuing to think about through the CHIMA program, trying to coordinate their efforts. And in the long run, we're seeing that it definitely pays off in terms of reducing silage populations and even cutting down on the amount of sprays that are needed to control silage.
But you do think on the more high-tech areas, within a few years, we're going to see some of those come through?
I know that we're going to see those new technologies developed and put into plants and be ready for use. I think one of the big things then will be the regulatory hurdles that might exist. And I think time will tell how long it takes to get those put out into the field.
Ernie Neff, Southeast AgNet.